a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
And Cam did it! In the middle. Astros win it 3-2. Cam Smith, the hero today as he walks off the Twins.
That was Saturday night. Cam Smith with a walk-off off of Joan Duran, the Game of Thrones sounding closer for the Twins, who's supposedly very good. And yesterday, the Astros got him again. They were down 1-0 in the ninth inning. Altuve grinds out an infield single, gets Jeremy Pena over to third. Pena scores on a sacrifice fly to force extra innings. And in extra innings, Mauricio Dubon hits a ball to deep left center that bounced off a Twins player's glove, and the Astros walk off with a win. First sweep against an American team. Huzzah! 5-game winning streak. Huzzah! 4.5 games up in the AL West. Huzzah! 11 games over 500. Huzzah! 2.5 games. Check that. 1.5 games out of the 2 spot in the American League. Huzzah! 4 games behind first place Detroit for the top mark in the American League. Huzzah! But all that said, I'm not trying to be a rain cloud of negativity here or, you know, tinkle in your Cheerios. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to be the showers outside right now. I'm just wondering how the hell they're doing this because it doesn't make any sense. It makes no sense. It's cool that it's happening. Sometimes it's fun to see things happening in a sport that don't make a lot of sense. A team goes on a Cinderella run through the NCAA tournament. I mean, that's why we watch sports. We like the moments of unpredictability. But the thing with this is it's technically predictable because if you're an Astros back of the baseball card kind of person, you know historically the Astros just do this every year. Everyone who says, yep, they get off to a slow start, then things get good for them. And that's true. But this time it doesn't make any sense that it's good. Victor Caratini was hitting cleanup yesterday. Yainer Diaz was batting second. I mean, your lineup is really starting to look weird. Who is the most recent guy that they put into the lineup? I'm not even sure how to pronounce his name. One of the guys that they had on a minor league contract, and I remember we talked about him during spring training, but there's someone called Luis Guillorme.
Oh, yeah.
That was in the lineup. I'm not even sure if I said his name correctly right there.
Yeah, it might be Guillorme.
Guillorme. Luis Guillorme. Right. And you also had Cooper Hummel?
Yeah.
Who?
Cooper Hummel.
I mean, I think I heard about him in spring training.
He had a cup of coffee with the Astros last season.
Yeah.
When the Astros were really struggling, believe it or not. And yes, he is a champion for the Space Cowboys, but I don't know much else about Mr. Hummel. But yeah, I saw that lineup notification of what the Astros are trotting out yesterday, and my honest to God thought was, well, they won the first 2 games of the series, so they're not going for the sweep. Like they did. Oh, what series was it where they basically punted on the chance
yes,
for the sweep?
That was,
maybe it was last weekend.
It was last weekend
where they just put out a lineup where
no Altuve.
Yes. Where you're just
they didn't start McCullers either.
How big is the roster that they can play these guys I've never heard of?
Well,
the answer is a bunch of guys got hurt, and so they could call them up.
Yeah, it was against Cleveland, and even then they still hung around.
Yeah,
this has been truly an incredible start to the season, and I mean we're close to halfway through it. We're very close.
Yeah, what 70? Games in?
Yeah, 71. They're 41-30. 70 games in. Could I have seen them having this record? Yes. Could I have seen them doing it where the whole lineup's hurt? Yordan Alvarez hasn't played at all this season. Let's just call it that. We haven't seen Yordan Alvarez once this year. Isak Paredes is now dealing with a hamstring issue. He says he's day-to-day and that he was fine on Friday, but he did miss the two games after that. Jose Altuve is another year older, and while I'm not going to go so far as some of the asshats on Astros Twitter who are like, he looks so old right now, I'm not going to go that far, but he's definitely not 2014 through 2017 Jose Altuve anymore, though he just had some stretches this season where he looked really good, and last year he also was really, really good, and the year before that he was really, really good despite not playing 162 games. You get what I'm saying here. You're not expecting as much from Jose Altuve. Yiner Diaz is not as good as he was last season. You are playing a rookie in left field. You were playing a rookie who was the backup to the original rookie you were playing in right field because Zach DiCenzo's out. Now, poor
Jacob Melton.
Jacob Melton. Yeah. Again, the names, there's so many, and I'm just stupid.
We've been forced to learn so many names.
So I can't remember all of them.
Yeah.
But Jacob Melton's going to be out at least a month, it sounds like. So that leads to Cooper Hummel playing in the outfield. Jose Altuve got hit in his throwing arm, so I don't know if he's going to be able to play in the outfield. By the way, yeah, Altuve's hurt too. Like, not seriously hurt.
Dinged up.
But he got a ball hit him in the arm, like a 98-mile-per-hour fastball, hit him in the right forearm. So that's his throwing arm. Stands to reason he's at the very least sore. So what else haven't I said? I mean, they've been playing Brendan Rodgers at second base from time to time, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And Mauricio Dubon played yesterday. I would like to see a little bit more of that. But this is the lineup. Jeremy Peña, who's having incredible MVP caliber season. Yiner Diaz, Jose Altuve, Victor Caratini. Jake Meyer's batting fifth, and he's having an insane year. He's carrying you. What I'm trying to say is none of this makes any sense unless you're pointing upstairs, divine intervention from the man himself, or downstairs, deal with the devil. Because I'm sorry, history's not enough for this. Like, this is maybe their most impressive start of this run.
All things considered?
Because of the all things considered.
Okay.
I mean, we've seen them, obviously, have some incredible years. 2017, 2019. We've seen some awesome baseball here.
I get what you're saying.
This is the most improbable because also we didn't even mention yet in this segment, Kyle Tucker, bye. Alex Bregman, bye. It's crazy. It's awesome, but it's crazy. I'm not waiting for the other shoe to drop. At this point, I just think it's going to keep on happening. Which is such a, you know, as someone who is a sports talk show host who's supposed to be skeptical, if not cynical, about everything, this, just believing this, buying into this wholeheartedly is weird.
Well, it's going to get weirder, Paul, because I have some breaking news.
Oh, no. Who got hurt?
From Julia Morales. Astros have placed Lance McCullers on the 15-day DL with, she said IL.
Elbow discomfort?
No. This is actually kind of good news. A right foot sprain.
Oh, okay.
And in a way, that's good news.
I was hoping
body.
He was like paternity leave or something.
And great news, right-handed pitcher, you know him, you love him, from your favorite 90s sitcom, Jason Alexander has been called up.
Oh! All right.
Yeah, Costanza.
Costanza. He always had the makings of an architect. Oh, wait. Nah, that's me confusing Sopranos with Seinfeld. You never have the makings of a varsity athlete. Yeah. Noted ex-Yankees.
Employee.
Executive or whatever the hell he was. I never really was clear as to what he was at the Yankees.
Was it like ticket office? I forgot.
I don't even know. I feel like he actually had some input with the baseball team, which made absolutely no sense. That is wild.
Yeah. So as we were talking, McCullers gets put on the IL with a foot sprain.
Day one, Donna asks, Yordan played at the beginning of the season, right? No.
Well,
he played, but no. That wasn't him. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. You didn't get Yordan. You haven't gotten any Yordan Alvarez production. You haven't gotten any production. He's been out there, but he was batting 200.
Does he have like three home runs? I don't think it was many.
I think that might be the number. I think it might be three.
Yordan Alvarez has on the season 3 home runs.
Yeah.
Hitting .210.
Yeah. The lack of production that they've gotten from Yordan really makes this the most improbable season. This might be the most improbable season.
Yes.
Of this run. I'll even say more so than 2020 when they were a game under .500 and made the ALCS, just because that was a shortened season. So there's always the chance that if in the hypothetical world where they got to play 100 more games, that they do turn into what we know the Astros to be. Like, even that season was less like, what? How the hell are they doing this? Even surprising in the opposite way, it wasn't as surprising as this start has been. And really, it's been the last few weeks, maybe the last month, where they've really kicked into overdrive. And they've won all these games in just as improbable of a way.
Yeah. I mean, they're on a roll right now. They have put together an incredible stretch. And really, if you want to, I guess, point to anything that led to the change, it's Jeremy Peña in the leadoff role. But again, like, all the numbers are like screaming, this should be impossible. They're ninth in runs a game. They have the worst average with the bases loaded. They have the worst all the numbers in the first inning. None of it makes sense. But then you take a look at these very random clutch numbers that were put together by Michael Schwab, and you're like, all right, I mean, they just know what it takes. 20 come from behind wins out of 41 wins, 4-0 in extra inning games, 7-1 when tied after 8 innings. Credit the bullpen, credit the bats, say it's flukish. Whatever the case, this is happening. And yeah, it seems like it's going to continue happening, especially when you take a look at the rest of the first half of the Astros, and it's a lot of nobodies outside of the Phillies and the Dodgers.
I was going to say, like, if you want to get totally sunshine and rainbows about this, which I think there's some truth to what I'm about to say, but I wouldn't go like as far as like most Astros fans would with it. But yes, they have the easiest schedule remaining in baseball.
Yeah. By a significant margin.
Yes, by a significant margin. They are going, at some point, they're going to get back Yordan Alvarez, who will more than likely play better than he played in how he started this season. So they'll be adding that to their lineup, and they will be getting some amount of pitchers back.
Yeah.
Like, they'll be getting, I don't know, Garcia, Javier, and France in some way. They'll get those guys back. Maybe they're not 100% back to where they picked up from when they got hurt, but you will be getting that production somehow. Like, it's not crazy to say that they can make up the, what, four-game deficit that they have to the Detroit Tigers,
yeah,
to be the number one seed in the AL.
For sure.
Like, that, it's not insane to say that. I can see the case. I'm not sure if it happens just because, you know, there's, you never guarantee that, oh, the bad luck will stop now. Like, now will only be good luck. Like, that's not how it works. But at the same time, it does look like they have a very smooth runway
for sure
to really taking off.
Which leads to this question, 713-780-3776, to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975 on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. To what Sean said, are you sipping that Kool-Aid saying, hey, what the Astros have done to this point, it's going to get better, at the very least continue, when all these pieces come back? Or are you looking at it and saying, this is luck? Because a lot of people are. I see a couple of texts about that. Most interactive sports talk show in town. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the
Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Question we asked as far as the Astros, five straight wins, 11 games over 500, 4.5 up at the AL West. Game and a half out of the two spot in the American League, four games out of the number one spot in the American League. It's been a very improbable year given all the things that they've overcome to this point. Does that make you feel confident that they will be better or at least be able to maintain this when some of those key pieces come back, especially given how easy the schedule is the rest of the way? Or are you looking at it and thinking to yourself, this is going to even itself out sooner rather than later, even if the schedule is what it is going forward? I should believe that one. I should. What they're doing right now does not make sense. It doesn't compute. The pitching has been great, but I expect that from Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown. I don't know that I expect it from Lance McCullers. By the way, that's the breaking news today. Lance McCullers is on the IL. Don't worry. It's a right foot sprain. I don't think that right foot sprains generally, I'm not a doctor, lead to elbow discomfort, which leads to Tommy John. But that's what's going on right now. So there's a part of me that's like, this is crazy. It's going to come back to earth at some point soon. But I do think, just given the schedule that they have the rest of the way, the fact that they're playing in an American League West that really is dregs. It's the Mariners, who have been a massive disappointment, even by their standards. And it's the Rangers, who were hyped media darlings going into this year, who also have been underwhelming at best. So I do think it's going to continue, but at the same time, like, I cannot figure out how this is happening.
Yeah. To me, it's a little bit of like they've already kind of benefited from the luck, and now if they get Yordan Alvarez back and their offense becomes better, they probably don't need to be as lucky. Like the separation, the margins, you get a little bit more wiggle room over your opponent, which are going to, for the most part, be worse than what you've played so far. You have a weaker schedule the rest of the way. And again, if we're taking the optimistic view of all these injuries, you're going to get back both starting pitching depth, health, and you're going to get back the best hitter in your lineup for the last 5 years. You're going to get Yordan Alvarez in there. So there is a case to be made that like they won't need to be as lucky going forward because they will just improve enough to where they don't need back-to-back walk-off hits to beat the Twins two times in a row.
Which they did, by the way.
Which they've already gotten. And they've kind of banked that win. So that's really more of it, is they've already banked these good luck wins, if you want to write them off like that, which I think is fair to a certain extent.
20 come from behind wins.
Aren't they undefeated in extra innings?
For a team that doesn't score that much. Yeah, they're 4-0 in extra innings.
Yeah, they've been terrible in extra innings
for a while.
For years now. So
7-1 when tied after the eighth.
Yeah, that's a little bit of where I feel like the, you know, scales of justice are balancing out a little bit of how bad the Astros have been in recent years with extra innings, with even, I would even say, like, when they're trailing in the seventh inning. Like, they're not normally, or they haven't recently, been that kind of team.
No, they've struggled at the end of games.
Yeah, normally recently. You know when they're going to win or lose. Like, even 2022, like, you knew if they're going to win or lose in like the fifth or sixth inning. Part of that is because if they got a lead, they could just sit on it with the bullpen that they had of all those guys, of Presley when Presley was awesome, Abreu, you had Maton, you had the Montero career year. So you just had so many guys that were pitching at a high level there where if you had a lead, like the game's already kind of over. And they have a little bit of that. I need to see it for a little bit longer for some of these Astros relievers. But the bullpen, I think, has been kind of a little bit of an unsung hero so far in this Astros season because we focus on what the stars in the rotation are doing. were pleasantly surprised by the Space Cowboys in the rotation and Pena's putting together a career year, that I do think that a big part of the secret sauce is having a bullpen that can shut things down late in games and buy your offense time to score the three runs that they need to win.
I hope it continues.
I do too.
God wills it.
God wills it.
Because this is the story of the year to this point. Divine intervention, or perhaps song. My bad. This isn't a song. This is just words of wisdom by a wise philosopher. She sat right down on the sofa, said, "Where have you been? I've been waiting for you. Because last night I had something so good. These days get so long, and I got nothing to do. I've been hanging around this town on the corner. I've been bumming around." Well, not really bumming, but take a look at the Astros offense. Kind of bumming in terms of lineup names. "So long. I've been hanging around this town on the corner. I've been bumming around this old town for way too long. I don't know how the Astros lineup is doing it. But the Astros hang around. Bullpen keeps them in it, and the offense gets hits when they need to, even though you wouldn't expect the guys on that lineup to actually make the plays that they're making. Something else. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text from the 281. What are the chances when the starters get back they get worse? Shh. It's always possible.
Yeah. It is possible. That But at a certain point, like, they just need, like, arms.
Yeah.
Like, they just, like, even if Christian Javier comes back and he is just as good as Colton Gordon, the simple act of having two guys that are pitching at Colton Gordon's level is better than having one guy because of how depleted this Astros rotation is.
But it just feels like they always get the most out of their pitchers. Doesn't matter who. And by the way, this just popped up. This is a Baseball America post. Houston's pitching pipeline keeps delivering. More on Miguel Ulloa. I have no idea who that is. He wears number 68. This is from the Baseball America account. Breaking news. The Astros have yet another unheralded pitching prospect who is looking like he's about to be an important rotation piece for quite some time. Until he develops elbow discomfort, of course, and misses a year and a half.
No, he'll have a really good year, and then 2 months into his second season, he'll develop elbow discomfort, and he'll miss 18 months.
It do be like that. Anyway, the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text from the 281. I'm talking starting positional players, too. That would be funny. Yordan comes back, they get worse. Actually, it wouldn't. It wouldn't be funny. It would be annoying.
Yeah. Christian Walker's just like, "Oh, great. Now I can stop trying."
From the 832, we are God's team. Yes, God wills it. From the 409, I love how some people are finding the negative in this still. They're 11 games over 500. You should be happy. This may be bad for Astros fans in the long run. Nobody's are hitting the ball. Jim might not ever sign the players we love again. Listen, they're still paying a lot of money. Don't call the Astros cheap. That's just not an accurate reflection right now, okay? There you go. Paul Gallant Show. Who's having a case of the Mondays? Text him in, call in, 713-780-3776 to call it to text. There's one fan base in baseball that's having a case of the Mondays, and they just swept the team that they hate the most. We talk about the Boston Red Sox and what may have led to everything hitting the fan the way that it did. Next, stick around, Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5.
Mondays suck.
Damn.
And these guys have it worst.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Who has a case of the Mondays?
Boston Red Sox fans certainly do. I'm glad I jumped off that bandwagon. Because they're up to their old tricks. When the Red Sox signed Alex Bregman, they created a problem for themselves via communication. I don't think they ever told Rafael Devers that he was going to get moved off of third base. I think they made it seem like Bregman would play second base. But then spring training began, and Devers, who's one of the worst third basemen in baseball, was told, hey, man, we just signed a Gold Glover. You're probably going to have to move. And he got very stubborn about it. We've played the clips where he was asked if he would play another position. He said, no. So the season began, and guess what? Devers actually did relent. He got moved to DH. But then some injuries happened. Tristan Casas, the first baseman, got hurt. And he was asked to play first base. And he, again, got stubborn and said no. I'm not trying to justify Devers here. I think Devers has behaved like an asshat. However, things getting to the point where you're trading a plus offensive player at third base for not a whole lot, very bizarre, and all Red Sox fans are pissed because today, in case you didn't hear about it, this is a pretty big trade as far as baseball goes. The San Francisco Giants acquired Rafael Devers, who said he will now play any position he's asked to play, not that he's good at any of them, from the Red Sox. Boston gets left-handed starter Kyle Harrison, right-hander Jordan Hicks. We saw Hicks pitch against the Astros. Actually, did pretty well. Outfield prospect James Tibbs III and rookie league right-hander Jose Bello. The Giants will cover the remainder of Devers' contract. I mean, $250 million through 2033. This does feel like a salary dump more than it feels like the Red Sox are getting better. And if you're a Red Sox fan, this is an organization that's won a lot of World Series. Four since 2004. That's the most in the sport. It's pretty crazy that ownership thinks this is going to be accepted by fans. And there's this weird thing going on with them where they're like really big into swinging their thing around when it comes to looking at the prospect rankings that they have. And guess what? This is going to do that again. But they're no close to contending. And by the way, they just swept the New York Yankees. Imagine you swept your arch rival over the weekend and you trade your best player the day after it's done. Not like they were any closer to being in contention, but it's not like the Red Sox are a complete disaster. They're in fourth place. They're a game above 500, I think. Like, 37 and 36. Really? You're doing this now?
Yeah. It's a team that's, what, five games worse than the Astros?
That had won five games in a row?
Yes, and they're a team with a much lower lower expectations. They are a team that is calling up a lot of prospects.
Yeah,
but
like that one guy, Roman Anthony.
Yeah, the Italian guy.
His sister's strong, powerful, independent woman. What
is that? Is that his little sister? Or?
I don't know.
When they're calling up a 22-year-old, I would like some more information.
I haven't researched. All I know is that the internet is saying she's a strong, powerful, okay, independent woman. I'm a taken man, Sean.
Okay. That this season hasn't actually gone off the rails, at least in my eyes, for the Red Sox. Like, them being a 500 team, I'd be like, yeah, that's, you know, about right. You know, maybe they're a couple games over, a couple games under. But to me, like, this isn't some Orioles level, like, oh, my God, everything's on fire. I don't get it other than from the personality part of it. We don't believe in Devers, like his mentality with how he carried himself in this ordeal.
And so what you're saying, they're doing the standard Red Sox smear playbook, which is they smear the guy on the way out. So all of a sudden you're seeing leaked stories about, like, according to my sources, the last conversation between Devers and the Red Sox management went like this. He expressed his love for the city and desire to stay, but felt unappreciated, and asked them that if they do not want him, to kindly trade him, as he does not wish to be in a place where he is not valued. So that is coming from somebody who's close to Devers, who was trying to make it look like pro-Devers. I think it actually makes him look worse.
No. More. I mean, at least, I mean, it would be believable if he was in there with John Lackey having chicken and beer.
In the clubhouse. Definitely believable if he were to do that.
It would be much more believable. But yeah, I think that's what this is. And I saw a report, I think it was Olney that reported it last night, that they didn't shop Devers, that they had targeted, I guess.
One team.
yeah, the Giants. Or maybe they had previous conversations with the Giants, and they called up Buster Posey, who now runs the Giants, and got the deal done a la Nico Harrison and Rob Pelinka in the Luka deal. This isn't quite the Luka deal as far as shocker and disappointing trade haul, but it is of a similar vein of, like you said, they swept the Yankees. The game ended where they swept them. That, by the way, Rafael Devers hit a home run on Sunday.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he hit a home run against the Yankees this weekend and then was traded hours later. It is a little bit of the Luka deal.
Except for he won a championship with them.
That is, 2018?
Devers 18, yeah.
Wow.
That was early Devers. Wild. More of the smear. The team felt $313.5 million comes with responsibilities. Devers did not live up to them. More, Devers was asked to take grounders at both third and first base in spring training. He declined and asked for a trade. That set wheels in motion for a growing divide between the Sox best player and the front office.
Yeah.
Case of the Mondays.
They'll do it.
Red Sox fans and Red Sox ownership and the Red Sox clubhouse.
Yes.
At least they got Bregman.
He goes to a place. I'm glad that he's open to play any position because Matt Chapman plays third base for the Giants, and he is like
pretty good.
I'd say maybe not all-time great, but he is a defensive third baseman. Awesome. He is one of the best of the last 20 years.
Yep.
And I have my doubts that Devers will take his spot. He might need to take some more grounders at first.
More, who has a case of the Mondays? ESPN producers, on a day after no NBA finals, I don't know how many people were watching Speak for Your Pizza or whatever show it was. Get up, my bad. But on a panel featuring Mike Greenberg and some random reporter and Bart Scott and Damian Woody, the bottom line read, what is Dak Prescott's legacy right now? Oh, man, we're in the thick of June content right now.
Great question.
Awful announcing called them out. That is a really crappy one.
Higher than Tony Romo in your all-time Cowboys quarterback power ranking?
That's actually a good question. But I do not want to entertain it. I do not want to entertain it. It's an interesting question. We are not in Dallas.
I think he's lower, but it's close.
More. Who has a case of the Mondays? Well, the media should have a case of the Mondays. First off, Antonio Brown, who still has yet to be taken into custody after an APB was put out for him, as he is now wanted for attempted murder. I think he was riding a bicycle in a Middle Eastern country or something like that.
Really?
I saw this on Instagram over the weekend. I don't know what's AI and what's real anymore. But he faces a warrant for his arrest on charge of attempted murder. He is blaming the media. He posted an anti-media quote from Malcolm X before addressing his predicament. How TF you go from being victimized unto a attempt to murder? You see they control the media. Who's they?
Cops?
Us, I guess. It seems like he's saying it's the media's fault, but someone controls the media. I don't know, dude.
It depends which Middle East country he's in. How that answer changes.
That's a good point. Very good point.
I don't know. I don't know if the cops charge people based off of media reports.
I don't think so either.
Also, there's like video of him reaching for a gun.
Yes.
And then gunshots going off.
Yeah.
So
he took a security guard's gun, allegedly. Yeah.
I just would like, I, you know, I think it's fair to want to bring him in and ask him a few questions.
I'm with you. Case of the Mondays continues. The media. This traffic helicopter reporter seems to be going through it in Los Angeles.
I am married. I am legally married. I am legally married. That's about the only way you can really say it. I am legally married. But I am not looking at now at all. I just had a bunch of debacles with my personal life. Yes, it's true. I know. It's hard to believe. Somebody that doesn't even know what he's talking about in a relationship. And, you know. But, I got nothing right now. Got nothing. Not really looking.
Flying a helicopter?
Trying to find myself and be happy. I'm being serious about that.
Is this a deleted scene from the rehearsal or something?
Respect is transparency.
I want to be beholden to no one at this moment. You know, do I get lonely? Of course. But I got cats.
Damn. Is that me? Is that single me? Goodness gracious. That is depressing.
Well, he is legally married.
That's true.
There's a lot there.
That's a lot.
I feel like I got a lot of information, but like many great storytellers, leaves me wanting a little bit more.
For sure.
I want to know why he's alone.
Stu Mandel, a Fox 11 LA aerial reporter. That's got to be fun to be like a helicopter reporter.
So sick.
One more, the media. Who's got a case of the Mondays? Let's just go as long as we can on this. Imagine you are scheduled for a TV hit at 8 p.m. for the Army's 250th birthday, which happened to fall on Donald Trump's birthday, which led to a lot of like No Kings rallies over the weekend and protests. I personally think it was for the Army, whatever. Fox News was doing a broadcast for that, and this lady, Rebecca Koffler, was, I guess, scheduled to go on at 8. They pushed her interview back. She even posted on social media, well, they pushed my interview back. Gonna have some champagne. Do you think she had too much champagne?
I am so excited, Emily and Lucas Tomlinson. Everybody, like, this is incredible. Finally, the United States is back. I want to really thank all of our Army, Navy, and Air Force officers who have been sacrificing their lives, literally. Their families have been contributing to the mission. Most of the time,
oh,
for the
God.
Past quarter of a century, because of the mismanagement of the administrative states, they've been fighting these foreign wars.
Oh,
but with our new...
How have they not cut away from her yet?
Donald J. Trump, they are prioritizing America first. And I want to thank these officers for all of these sacrifices.
She's speaking like a toddler. What? What was that?
She kind of got it together a little bit. She found a flow somewhere in the middle, but like the very beginning, I would have been like, oh my God, what have we done?
I gotta say, it's really funny watching former Raiders cheerleader Emily Campagno, who was hosting this, like, her face is just completely disgusted when they show her on camera, like, for just a split second. And I would be, too. Like, why did they think this was an idea? Like, let's interview this random lady. I don't know who this person is at all. And this lady's just tossing back champagne, clearly.
I am so excited.
That is like... That's like 130.
That's right out of the gates.
Yeah.
That's right out of the gates. Like, so I bet she's got a case of the Mondays. I wonder if she's still employed.
She's hungover.
Definitely hungover. I wonder if she's still employed. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show. That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. We got some garbage time before we get out of here. How do the Astros keep doing this? I'm so excited. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, the Paul Gallant Show. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Antonio Brown did turn himself in. That's nice. You know who else turned himself in today? Ipe Mizuhara, the disgraced former interpreter for Dodgers superstar Shohei Ohtani. He is in federal prison in Pennsylvania after stealing nearly $17 million from Ohtani, 57 months in jail. He was supposed to be there in March, but a federal judge granted the delay. The reasons for the delay sealed. Ohtani, by the way, about to make his, I think, first start on the mound in quite some time.
Is that tonight?
Yeah.
I think it's tonight, yeah. That'll be exciting. That'll be exciting. Hope Ipe can watch it. Watch it somehow.
Well, it's in Pennsylvania, and I imagine that lights out yeah. Probably before West Coast baseball.
That's true. Okay. So maybe, I don't know. Do they get the newspaper? How do you follow baseball in prison?
It's
something I've
question.
Literally never considered until right now.
It's a good question. You know, I don't know much about prison. I do know that my own prison by Creed is fantastic. It's a great song. Should have been dead on Sunday morning. But I do not know. Astros, meanwhile, they play the A's. I hate West Coast baseball when the A's are bad, when the Angels are bad. At least the Mariners are around 500. But the worst part about the American League West is that the teams that you have to stay up late to watch generally suck if they're not homeless, which, by the way, the Athletics are. So the Astros are playing them today. Lance McCullers just went on the IL with a sprained foot. And tonight, for your Houston Astros, for our Houston Astros, it'll be Ryan Gusto against Mitch Spence. $16 tickets. That seems pricey at the Sacramento River Cats ballpark.
A little much.
The over-under for this game is 10.5. Huh.
I'm guessing because Gusto and
Spence.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mitch Spence has an ERA of 3.67. Oh, this is kind of weird. It says he's a relief pitcher. So I don't. That's a weird one. I think I'll take the under on that. Sean's behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Time for a little garbage time before we leave.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Seems that people that were on the PGA Tour believed that Oakmont, where the U.S. Open was played, was borderline unplayable. That does sound right, given that the only guy who finished under par was the winner, J.J. Spong.
Yeah, that's real golf right there. Now, it was raining a lot while they were finishing up. And that might be what people were upset, or at least the players were upset about. But that's what I want to see. What, just one major year, give me, like, these guys absolutely eating bleep for 4 days.
Yeah. There's some really funny quotes coming out of this. Adam Scott said they were borderline unplayable conditions. Siwoo Kim said, I don't even know what I'm doing on this course.
Did you see the picture of one of the lockers that apparently... I think it was Wyndham Clark. He was the guy who threw his club at the PGA Tour or the PGA Championship. Apparently, Wyndham Clark trashed his locker.
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, just
he might not be allowed back.
The biggest hothead. Now I kind of like him. Now he's just like an absolute maniac.
That was sick. Yeah, I love that. That was fantastic. So we'll talk a little more about the U.S. Open tomorrow. Today's a celebration day for the Astros, man. That was a great sweep. They've been on a roll. More in garbage time. See this? You hear about this? I'm telling you guys, you aren't going to believe it when you hear it from me as it loads on my screen very slowly.
That was good filibustering.
You aren't gonna believe this one. You know, let me tell you.
I'm not sure the Killer Bees enjoyed this filibuster.
This is one of those ones where you're going to be like, whoa,
yeah,
when you finally hear it. This is crazy how long this stupid-ass website is taking to load. I blame these TV channels. They just don't do particularly well.
So many pop-ups. Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
You see this? You hear about this? Did you see it? Did you hear it? A man was arrested and finally loaded. Unbelievable. Why? Because he was greeting the delivery driver completely naked.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Jeffrey Kennedy is wanted on a misdemeanor charge of indecent exposure after the incident, which happened May 19th. Yeah. So there you go. You can't do that. You can't do that, everybody.
You really can't.
You can't.
You really can't. It was worth the wait, though.
That's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. My internet seems to be crashing out, but big thanks to everyone who tuned in. Be safe out there driving through this maelstrom. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, to our callers, texters, YouTubers, and Twitchers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.